Empower Radio presents The Butterfly Moment. It's the classic quantum leap in personal growth. Now here are your hosts for The Butterfly Moment, John Schulter and Carrie Hall on Empower Radio.
Well, good morning. Good morning and welcome to The Butterfly Moment. This is my favorite time of the week because it is, without a doubt, the best job in the world. My name is John Schulter.
And I'm Carrie Hall.
It's the show that talks about extraordinary people doing extraordinary things. And it's the show that believes in something called the butterfly moment. The time of the caterpillar leaving the cocoon and realizing that it's much more than it thought. Most beautiful creature, one of the most beautiful creatures on earth, and in fact, it can fly. Before we get to our incredible guest today, I've got a question. What would you do if you knew that you could not fail? Would you like to live life with more passion, power, and purpose? Or what is your butterfly moment? Carrie and I are life coaches, and we'd love to give you a free session, 55 minutes focused totally on you. We could talk about what your hopes and dreams are, what may be standing in your way. What kind of strategies out there that are out there for you to get to where you want to go? And so if you'd like to contact us, you can find our website at butterflylifecoach.com, butterflylifecoach.com. And we can talk about some of the strategies that are keeping you from the life that you want. You know, it's really interesting, Carrie. One of my main interests and preoccupations is human potential.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole butterfly moment is based on this idea that you can be more. And that scientists pretty much across the board say we only use 10% of our capacity or our strengths or our abilities.
Mm-hmm.
But no one talks about that. You know?
Well, let's talk about it, John. What do you have to say?
Well, what if you had $1 million in the bank and 900,000 of it was something that you never tried to get to? You never asked for.
Well, when you put it that way, that's a catastrophe.
Well, I imagine if we're only using 10% of our human potential, there's a waste there somehow.
That's right. That's a lot of untapped energy.
Anyway, talking about great men and great achievers, could you talk a little bit about and introduce Mr. Randy Speck?
Yes, Randy Speck. Our friend Randy is an American educator. He's an experienced educational leader, and he has one very big dream for his students, and that is that they are able to learn and define their academic success based on what they're learning. So Randy actually has quite a few bullet points that we want to touch on today, but one of them that I love is he dreams of a day when students, no matter how they learn, are viewed as very special pieces of a puzzle, of an amazing puzzle. Randy was recognized in 2010 by Corp Magazine as one of the top entrepreneurs in Michigan. Randy believes in the power of transforming communities through a transformation of education. He's married to Kim, and they have two, I'm sure, beautiful children, Palmer, 13, and Lainey, Hope, 8. Randy, thank you so much for being with us today.
Hey, guys, it is a pleasure to be with both of you today. Great to talk about butterfly moments. Great to talk about education. The sun is beaming through my window right now.
So isn't it beautiful?
It's a great day to talk about transformation.
Randy, what's going on in Madison Heights?
Well, we've got, I'm blessed to serve a school district just a little bit north of Detroit that is diverse in its history, it's diverse in its present, and we believe it'll be diverse in its future. We've got students who come from a lot of different backgrounds. Some of our students, we have, from an economic standpoint, we've got 90% of our kids who come from low-income, free and reduced lunch families, but at the same time, we've got kids who purposely choose to come to our school district because they know with our teachers, with our custodians, with our food service folks, with anyone who has the ability to emotionally and mentally and academically, and in many ways spiritually touch them every day, they're going to leave here with hope. And so we are really blessed to have a school district that we believe is vibrant, it's growing, it's imperfect, which we're all imperfect, and we celebrate that from time to time. But we are we're having a great school year, and I believe we've got students and families who are being blessed by the service that's happening here.
That's wonderful, Randy. How many students do you have there?
We have about 1,200 traditional K-12 students. We have another 650 homeschool students, and then we also authorize a charter school here in the area that specifically mostly serves families from Iraq, the Chaldean families who come over. So overall, we have a little bit over 2,000 who are in our total system, but we're able to really reach them in some different areas like traditional K-12 education, homeschooling, and then charter schools as well.
Wow, that's great. And your facilities are beautiful.
Thank you. We are proud of we've got some older facilities. We've got a new facility that we've built
that
recently.
That was amazing.
And part of that was to use architecture and design and great color to show kids that their surroundings and their environments don't have to be drab and dull and brown and yuck and gross.
It's so uplifting, everything.
It can be totally uplifting right when they walk in. And it's probably no surprise that building is we're already almost ready to outgrow that building.
Wow. That's the way I felt when I walked in that building. Yeah. It was
uplifting. What would you say is your platform? What is your approach? Where are you coming from to make a difference, to make a change, and to make a broken system work?
Well, if you don't start, and this is my philosophy, I've used it for years. My background was actually in private parochial evangelical Christian education. And then when I was able to cross over into working in the public system, I always wondered, would the same approach work? And the approach is serving people. And so our mission statement here is that we're going to be a school district that serves families one student at a time.
And I love it.
What we want to say by that is each child is individual, but they're part of a family unit. And that family unit, it might have a mom and a dad, but it might not have a mom and dad. It might have a grandmother. It might have a grandfather. It might have an aunt and an uncle. It might have a guardian. It might have an adopted family or adopted parent. That family unit could be made up in different ways, but that family unit also needs to be served and loved and blessed by a school district, not just to say we're going to take your kids and we're just going to teach them math and science. I'll get to math and science, but until we really get their hearts, we can't get their minds and the academic stuff that comes after that. So our platform that I'm so proud of this school district that they've adopted, that again I hear not only from the administrators who might be with me more than others, but I'll hear it from food service people. I hear it from my board. I hear it from custodians where they talk about what are we going to do today? What are we going to do this week to serve families?
Wow, Randy, I've heard you say that before, and every time it gives me goosebumps. It just seems like that you've connected on like a whole different level than traditional schools with these children, and you've actually given them and their families a family.
Well, I appreciate that. One of the most, I think, fun things for me to do, and I did it just a few minutes ago when I was coming back from the high school, and a little bit later today I'll walk over to our elementary school and get to do the same thing, is to be able to walk into the school building, and we're small enough to where the students know who I am, and the parents know who I am, and to be able to just to reach out and to have a kid come up and hug you, or you be able to give them a hug back and hear about what's going on in their day. Because some days, quite frankly, some days aren't great for kids. You can have a not great kid moment in an affluent neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And you can have a not great moment for a kid in a less affluent neighborhood. And for a lot of our kids, they may not have the ability to to talk about it with a counselor and, you know, in a private setting. Mm-hmm. They might just have to internalize things. And mm-hmm. so when they come to school after a tough environment that they may live in part of Detroit or the city, mm-hmm. but they come into our buildings and they see teachers who are smiling. They see administrators who are thrilled that they're there. They see a superintendent who can't wait to see them and hug them. I think that gives them hope. And I think that that's part of a transformation that mm-hmm. education and the reformers that are a part of education that we miss. We miss the human interaction mm-hmm. component of all of this. We talk about curriculum and we talk about testing and assessments, and all of those things have their place, but they can't really have a true impact if that child hasn't bought into the people mm-hmm. who that they are entrusting their souls to and their academic and mental minds to. They can't buy into that if they don't trust those people. And I think that's one of the things our folks have really done a great job of, and I'm just really proud to lead this district.
You know, the great thing of what you're saying, I believe, and I think, is the Mother Teresa concept of incremental change, that you change the world by dealing with the power of one, this, you know, poor person, this student, this sick person. You can't change everything at once, but you can change the person, the circumstances in front of you. I think that is so powerful, Randy.
The moment that we have is right here. Mm-hmm. The moment that we have is right now. And in an environment that we're here in Madison Heights, and it can be this way throughout the country, where you have urban areas that you might have high poverty or low income, you see transient communities, meaning you don't always have the luxury of knowing that those kindergarten students are going to be with you when they graduate from high school. That's not a luxury that some communities have. So what you start to realize is, you know what, I've got these kids today. Mm. I have them today. Mm-hmm. And my hope is to have them tomorrow. And I hope to have them next month. And I hope to have them when they graduate from us, because we believe that their lives will be completely changed and transformed if they're with us all the way through. But if they don't have the ability to do that, we're going to invest everything we can in them today.
Mm. You know, the great thing that I saw in going into your classrooms and watching you and the teachers interact is that you guys walk the talk. As Gandhi said, be the change you wish to see in the world. And the wonderful thing about that is that these kids can take those tools, your way of reacting to life, your way of solving problems, and bring them home to their families, bring them home to their parents as a new paradigm, a new way of doing things. And that starts with being a good example of how to handle life.
Well, the teaching almost inverts itself in mm-hmm. many ways, because we know. I know these families, and I know these moms and dads and these aunts and uncles and grandparents and those who are taking care of their kids. I know that they are doing the best job that they can.
Right.
They are coming to the table with everything that they can. But at the same time, what was modeled for them may not have been great. Mm-hmm. And so they've taken it a step further. So when we provide an environment that not only does great in academics and really stretches kids and encourages them to think and to inquire and to challenge, but at the same time, we're also teaching about service and being kind and what it means to be a contributing member of society, not in high school, not in college, but right now. Then they can take that message home to their families. And when there have been beautiful moments in my office where maybe a student was in my office because, you know, it was a discipline issue that rose to the level that I had to be involved in. We've had some beautiful moments where I've been with moms and grandmothers, and by the end of the session, we're all in tears, because we all realize that we're all on the same team. This isn't administration against parents. Mm-hmm. This isn't child against administration. The three of us as a triangle, can work together to give the best opportunity for that child to succeed and for them to have hope. And when they leave here with hope, and they've got a great opportunity ahead of them.
Mm. You know, as you speak, I can see your dream. And I'm reminded of the other icon of this triad, Martin Luther King. And I know that you're a dreamer. Tell us who your alive and dead mentors have been in getting to this point of dreaming.
Well, you know, Walt Disney, from a standpoint of just someone who put something out there that was just almost unimaginable. Mm. Not only did he put out vision in front of a new industry and new concepts of doing things, he also took that vision in dreaming and said, you know what, it has to have some foundation. And so there's a heritage of that Walt Disney Company that goes back to the roots of his life that really fueled that dream. And for me, I love sitting, and hopefully in 3 or 4 weeks, I'm going to be sitting on a bench right outside the Cinderella's Castle at Walt Disney World. Oh, and I'll be looking at a statue of Walt Disney and Mickey, and my family will give me my 15 or 20 minutes just so I can kind of meditate in that area for a minute and see if I can get some of that dreaming to fall on me. I think from a standpoint of who are my influences now, I think the influences now are becoming increasingly more and more the kids and the families that we serve.
I was just going to say that I could see that in your interaction, that those have become your teachers. That is so beautiful. And the thing that you have about the dream, it's that you're teaching them how to dream into their own life. It may not be a school, but maybe it's a house and a car and a job and a family. They can use the same energies and the same tools to build their own lives.
Yeah. And the great thing about dreams for me is I don't even know how they're going to happen, but I don't, that's not going to stop me. And it's not going to stop us from sharing that energy and that passion with our kids and with our families, because in many ways their dream died a long time ago. They don't know what the dream is. Mm-hmm. They don't even know what that looks like. Exactly.
Yeah.
How do we get out of this neighborhood or college doesn't even make sense to me because I haven't even seen that before in our family. So we have an opportunity to exemplify and to show and to demonstrate something fun like dreaming.
And actually help transcend people's circumstances. You know, Randy, you make a good point. Dreaming is often vastly underrated. I think we all need to take time to dream.
Mm. Yeah.
Like you're going to be doing pretty soon. And
you know, before, you know, go ahead.
I was going to say that there's a difference in many ways between dreaming and a fantasy. A fantasy is a world that may just never exist, you know, and in many ways a fantasy removes me from reality. But I can sit here in my office and I can look out at our schools and our kids and think, I have a dream that your life and your generation will be different than what you were born into or what you came into. And although I won't be able to be a part of your life for forever, the part of your life that I do have the ability to touch, we're going to stretch those dreams and give you new opportunities that you never thought possible.
Wow.
Boy, that's beautiful. It's like the great late Dr. Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
He had a dream, and Randy has dreams of education for the children, of a day when students have the ability to learn in real time, achieving real time results. What does that mean, Randy, exactly?
Well, the days of saying, well, I'm going to find out how we're doing in our third grade or our seventh grade when we get these arbitrary 6-week or 9-week report cards, from a standpoint of academics, we've technology has taken us way past that. We know that states have standards that we want teach, we want kids to learn. And so we now have the ability, much more at a real-time level, to find out how kids are doing. We don't have to wait for nine-week report cards. We don't have to wait for parent-teacher conferences.
So kids don't fall behind.
Exactly. Teachers have the ability now, almost on a weekly level, a weekly basis, to tweak what's happening to make sure kids are not getting behind. But even more importantly for that, you know, my 8-year-old daughter, when she was, goodness, 2 or 3, and I got my first iPhone, she pulled it out of the box and knew instinctively how to turn it on. I'm reading the instruction manual, and she knew that there's a button that tells me I need to go in a direction, and she was able to do that. I think from the standpoint of real time, real education right now, it also has to be relevant,
and we have staying in touch.
Let kids know that the classes that they're taking and what they're involved in isn't just some, again, arbitrary thing that we say you have to do. It's something that can be a connector to a different way of living.
That's great. Okay, we've got just a little bit of time left, and I want to present to you the question that we ask all of our movers and shakers, our achievers, and it's about the butterfly moment. When was the time, Randy, when you realized, I can do this. This is what I was meant to do. This is how I was meant to fly. When did that happen? How did it happen?
Well, I knew that in my early 20s that I wanted to be an educator, that I wanted to lead schools. I knew that. But when I came to Madison about 4 years ago, and I was spending way too much time with adults. I was spending way too much time with union issues and health insurance and all that kind of stuff. And then I went back into the building, started to see the kids. And so I would say that it was probably around May 15th, May 16th, the middle of May of 2012, where I was able to look at myself in the mirror and said, I can do this. I've been uniquely prepared to do this job. There had been 10 other superintendents in an 8-year period in my job before I got it, but I was going to do it different. And we were going to start by a basic human characteristic of just being nice, serving people. And if we could do that well, then everything else would fall into place. And I truly believe that communities like Madison Heights, even something a lot larger like Detroit, it can change. It can be transformed when a school community says, we're going to take the mantle. No one else can lead. Fine. We'll lead. And we'll show you with our youngest to our oldest how we're going to do it. And for me, that was the butterfly moment when I realized that my preparation in life had led me to this moment and that we could do it here.
That's beautiful, Randy.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Now, if we have some great, great listeners, I'm sure they're going to come up with some questions. In the interim, how do they get a hold of you, Randy? I assume that you do speaking, consulting, and that type of thing. How? What's the best way other than our website?
How to get in touch with Randy Speck.
Yeah. Right.
Well, on Twitter, they could get me at Randy_Speck. That's one way on Twitter. Email address would be srspeck@me.com. So that's srspeck@me.com. Phone number 248-953.
The good old fashioned way.
5312. Yeah, and I'd be glad to visit. I'd be glad to answer any questions or just, you know, share in the conversation. I've had the ability to be in front of folks from Coca-Cola to Consumers Energy to different people and just share positive messages of how you take organizations and lead them from where they're at to where they can go. And having the ability to see it every day happen here in a school setting is really powerful. And it's a powerful reminder to me every day. It's not a job that I take for granted. It's the best job in the world.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Also, I'd want to mention that you have two special teachers there, Chip and Lisa, that are getting really great results in the creative writing, correct?
Oh, our Chip and Lisa are doing a fantastic job. They have inspired these young writers, these young authors to, again, reach beyond themselves about what they thought they could do, about what they thought writing was about, And now they've been able to see it. They've been able to see it in published books, and it has inspired these young people. And Chip and Lisa have just done a fantastic job.
We were there at their book signing, and I thought that was so cool to allow those kids the opportunity to have a work product and to step into this role as an author. It's just wonderful. And, you know, you were, of course, coming in and hugging kids. And that was
really beautiful, too. Randy, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much. We were just talking with Randy Speck. He's a school leader looking to change communities by effectively leading schools.
As we close, what would be your last advice to either parents or teachers in dealing, you know, with this, the new children, the new students?
Children have the opportunity to lead. Children have the opportunity to teach. Children have the opportunity to change lives. Let's just give them the opportunity and the hope to do it.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for being on our show. It was an honor.
Thanks, Randy.
Thank you, guys.
We'll
Keep
do
dreaming.
It again.